Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and very excited to have you with us here tonight. As always, it is Saturday, May 12th, 2007, about 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. We've crossed the midpoint threshold of the program, and we've been taking your calls, of course, 800-313-9443. Anywhere you might want to take us, feel free to do so. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at our website, the only officially sanctioned website for the network, and that's republicbroadcasting.org. Our website for the show, franklyspeakingradio.com. Very, very easy stuff to remember. Let's continue with Mike in Kentucky. Go ahead, sir.
Well, you don't have to call me sir. I haven't been knighted by the Queen. And
fair enough.
And I've actually seen the original 13th Amendment printed on hemp paper as published in 1822 by the state of Kentucky. So no titles of nobility for me, please. Anyway, and that was actually where I was going. There was a statement made in Parliament during the American Revolution that, the patriot may be to something to the effect that the patriot would be sitting in his ruined tenement. You know, the wind will crash against it, the rain may beat upon its roof, but the king cannot cross the threshold of the ruined tenement. I don't think we can fully realize the effect that we've had. Rather than have what I would call kind of a self-defeated attitude, and the show before you, they built up the Illuminati into this unimaginable, undefeatable, omnipotent enemy of truth, justice, and the American way, or something. But the question was brought up by one of the callers, one of the regular callers, I think, from New Jersey, said, how come you're still alive if these people are so pervasive and so all powerful and able to control all these different governments and stuff? And they got into the Jesuits and whatever else, I think it still comes down to economics. No matter who it is you want to take out, you got to pay somebody for it, and it may be only cost $5,000 to take out somebody like me, or maybe $30,000 to take out somebody like you, but it still costs some money. And if you're not big enough target and causing enough damage and have enough power, they brought up JFK, for instance, and that he was taken out by the Illuminati or the Jesuits or whoever. He had had the finger on some power there that could have caused him some trouble. So there was more incentive to take out an operator that was threatening the establishment like the Federal Reserve, because he actually had the power to cause some serious damage. And that was one of the things that I'd actually went to the library to try to look up before the Internet was invented by Al Gore, I guess you could say. The Executive Order 11,110 out of the four-volume set of Kennedy's executive orders, that one volume was missing that had that in there in the local library. And that's we're going back 15 years, I guess, when I first went to look that one up and found that that volume was missing. The librarian didn't know where it was. Says it's in inventory here, and you go look on all the carts for book returns and search the library, and it's nowhere to be found. It's kind of weird, but in any event, I just wanted to chime in with that. I think we need to avoid that doorway that Dante had, abandoned hope, all ye who enter here.
I think that's a good point. Let me ask you to hang on, though, if you don't mind, and we'll explore that further, because, folks, that's what we're all about here, is solutions and empowerment and hope, and if we're getting away from that, then I'm not doing my job. Stay with us. We're back in three.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation Christian to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Excited you're here. And let's get back to Mike in Kentucky. Mike, when we left off, we were talking about hope and having hope. Now, a lot of this stuff, how long have you been delving into these types of research areas?
Well, I don't know. I've always, going back probably when I was in grade school, I started reading a lot of the kind of nerdy magazines, a Future Shock type flick,
sure,
from Carl Sagan's Future, or you know, Popular Science, Popular Mechanics, all those things, and you see all these promise of the future, inventions and technology that somehow or another we never have gotten.
I'm telling you, man, I want my flying car right now.
Yeah, where's George Jetson?
That's
but,
right.
his boy Elroy. Anyway, I don't think, what was it, John Paul Jones, I can't remember, who was it, said, I have not yet begun to fight?
I believe so.
You know, I don't think we've really done as much as we're capable of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've had various ideas. I've been really tempted to do it, even though I don't really have the time. But maybe a lot of folks that have more time, the money, could do simple things to reach people that's not being reached right now. Like, you know, I see these guys that go out and have their little duffel bag, and maybe they're dressed in some camo or something, you know. It's obvious that they're not what they say they are, but they'll have a little cardboard sign that says, you know, homeless vet, God bless, please help, or whatever. And, you know, they're out by the Walmart or something, and I guess the laws are such that they can't do nothing about them. So they stand there all the day, and occasionally you hear about somebody picking them up and taking them home and say, all right, you know, you can do some yard work for me, and they're gone in 5 minutes. They won't work. So, I mean, you know, a patriot could grab some donations or have some flyers to hand out and stand there on the corner with a sign that says, we'll work for money that the government can't take, you know? Mm. And put the word money in quotes, and when people say, you know, say, all right, I'll give you $5 to mow my grass, they'll say, no, I want money. And then hand them a page on what the definition of the dollar is, and, you know, what the heck, they may actually end up throwing a donation in your guitar case or something, you know, in the process. Mm-hmm. You could fund your own little effort to tell people different things, you know, than that they're hearing from America Online or whatever, because there's a lot of people that aren't being reached. I think there's a lot of people that aren't being reached, and the American Revolution was what, less than 12% of the population, you know. So I mean, it is not something that we need 60 million people to do. Aaron Russo says that there, in his film, that there are over 60 million quote non-filers in the United States that are supposed to be filing income tax. That's a revolution. You know,
it's
not being talked about in the media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if he's even half right, that's 30 million people. That was, the American Revolution wasn't fought by 30 million people. What was it, maybe two?
I have no idea the numbers. But
probably 15 times the people today that we had that fought the American Revolution. So I'm not willing to throw in the towel. And on September the 10th, 2001, I had an intense foreboding, you know, that something was going to happen. Like the strength drained out of me, and I didn't recognize what it was until the next day.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, you can get those, those type of premonitions, I guess you could say. Like the last, he's been a guest, right?
Yes.
You can get those sort of things, but September 11th was not the end of the world. Might have been the end of the age. You know, I've heard a lot of people talk about Babylon. Babylon has fallen, as both towers came down, you know, as a parody for what's in the book of Revelation. But I don't think it quite fits. You study the school of thought called preterism, which places relevance to those prophetic languages and makes reference to the Old Testament uses of those, where the Israelites were being put in captivity and their temple was destroyed and things like that. The elemental things of the temple, like the accoutrements, the fixtures, the trowels, the incense shovels or whatever, those elemental things that were used to make sacrifices, those and the spiritual elements of their faith, that sort of thing, those have been destroyed numerous times, and that's what the Bible talks about when it talks about the elements melting with fervent heat. It doesn't mean the periodic table of the elements that's in your chemistry classroom. That's not what it means. So there's a confusion along those lines that people need to really study and pray over.
Are you a preterist?
I have been boxed into that conclusion basically by my own study of that, and I've yet to find anything seriously flawed that would
really
shake that loose. Yes,
that surprises me, because I've looked at it myself, and I don't think it holds up to scrutiny.
Well, there's a lot of debunkers out there that will pick apart small parts of it. I tell you, the easier thing to pick apart is this left behind stuff, and who started it and why. I think that a lot of the A lot of that was started by Schofield and the people that propped him up and propagated that.
I agree with you, Mike. I'm not endorsing a rapture by any means. I think that's bunk. But again, don't unite the rapture with the prophetic things to come and saying that all of these need to be thrown out, because I don't believe in the rapture at all. And I know that a lot of the mainstream churches do, and obviously the entire Left Behind series is based upon that whole philosophy of a rapture. So I think that's nonsense. But that doesn't mean that revelation has already occurred either. You know, just because of the rapture concept is flawed.
Well, there's plenty of well-written articles on the various parts of Revelation and what they pertain to, and it does hinge on when the book of Revelation was written. If it was written prior to 70 AD, prior to the beast of Nero, as he was described.
How do you figure that it's based on when? I don't see how when it was written has too much relevance.
If it was written before the destruction of the temple, and there's lots of contextual evidence from the book itself, without getting into archaeology or any other indicators, which there are other writings that talk about Nero and his practices, and he was the one that ordered the siege on the temple. So, and as the war lasted three and a half years for the siege that destroyed the temple, and in that case, it was the last remnant of the old covenant, and that was the end of the age for the old covenant, and everything the elements melted with fervent heat, and it was the scroll was rolled up and closed on the old covenant in 70 A.D. So, I mean, there's all sorts of writings on that that are much better than I can tell you about.
No, I know. And I've done, and I'm not putting it on the spot here by any means. I like to have these kinds of discussions. I think I've done some shows on the Preterist View, and I find it to be very much filled with a heck of a lot of assumptions. There's a lot of things in Revelation that I don't think can be explained away by saying that it has already occurred. The Mark of the Beast, for example, third of the seas dying.
Whose name and face is on this coin? And
Caesar?
Nero demanded worship. That's the elements of the
that
Mark of the Beast.
No. That's
the Mark of the Beast. The elements
that's
of the
not
Mark
true.
Of the Beast. If you go look at the elements of the Mark of the Beast, it demands that you worship the beast and its image.
And it also says that it talks. How do you account for that?
The Roman Empire issued orders that were that were carried out throughout the known world at the time, and
it's a big assumption, my friend. It's trying to take the facts and fit it to the prophecy. How do you account for the one third of the seas turning to blood, and a third of the fish all dying worldwide? How do you account for any number of things? I mean, really, we could just sit here and do this back and forth for hours and hours.
There are accounts of.
It's all based on the writings of one guy, Preterist View. It's all based on Josephus. Is that correct?
No,
it's not
just based on Josephus. But there are the opposite, like you said, we could go back and forth. There are the opposite assumptions based on people saying that they saw, or they know a guy that saw somebody that said they saw John on the Isle of Patmos after the temple was. And that's all based on, that's people trying to say that the book of Revelation was built after the temple was destroyed, and that's based on assumptions too. So, that's why you have to look at it in context and look at the Old Testament language.
Hang on a second, my friend. Quick break, folks. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously. Live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E. Documents, plural.com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Pretty little hairdo, don't do what it used to.
Good morning, my friends. Welcome back to the big show. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. I'm glad you're here. Taking your calls if you're interested, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Mike in Kentucky, just to bring this all back around to the beginning, we were talking about hope. And one of the things that I've always been really fascinated by is the idea of the preterist view, and where's the hope in that, saying basically that the whole thing's already been over and done with?
Well, the spiritual battles is the important thing to remember, is mm-hmm. that his kingdom is without end. The battle's already been won. He defeated death in the resurrection, and he's sitting at the right hand at the throne. So, I'm not saying that there's not a lot of disturbing things that are going on in the world today that we should not be concerned about. These the chips in everything prison sure. planet tracking grid that mm-hmm. we're facing right now is not something. There are those that are embracing it, and what you would approach to say that they are worshiping the technology because they know they're going head first into it without fear, mm-hmm. accepting the implants, sure. the chips and the money and the entire electronic tracking grid, you know, that is available. And I think it's probably been available for quite some time. And in fact, you know, you hear occasionally shows about people talking about that they could be sneaking these chips into the vaccines, that they inject some sort of identification markers in those. And I would just say that if you look at the three, I think it's the three main characteristics of the mark of the beast. The main one that even if you get some mark of the beast, you know, that worship of the beast and its image is a major factor there for those that are for lack of a better term, damned.
Mm-hmm.
So, and in contract law, of course, if you're forced or coerced into something, then there is no valid contract. If you're not fully informed when, and who was, you know, most of us, I guess, were, forced or coerced, or your parents got a social security number for you before you were of age to know what was going on. So you weren't cognizant and you were coerced or misled. Mm-hmm. There's no contract there mm-hmm. under basic contract law. So if that's the number of your name, when you know it's not your name, I mean, a lot of people have argued that the social security number is the mark of the beast, but it doesn't quite fit. And it is, you could say it is an image of the beast because it is, in effect, it creates an artificial person as opposed to a natural person, an image of the beast. I mean, you can draw all kinds of analogies, and the Social Security number's been around since, what, 1937?
I don't even know.
Yeah, so 1937. When did we miss the rapture and they didn't report on it then? I mean, you know. But like you said, you don't subscribe to the rapture.
No,
but,
not at all.
So either way, I mean, there's you know, 1,000 years of tribulation that a bunch of us are going to have to go through if you take the Book of Revelation literally.
It says there's 1,000 years of peace. I don't remember 1,000.
Yeah, there's 1,000.
We certainly haven't had 1,000 years of peace since 70 A.D. There was no
right. So see, there's some problems with trying to take it quite so literally. I think.
Or the problem with the preterist view, but either way, you know.
Yeah, there's a few problems, but I think there's so much more about the imminent and urgent language that was spoken to those people of that day that can't be ignored either. You know, yet a little while, and you will see me, and you know, no more. there's no phrase after that. You know. Mm-hmm. Yet a little while, and you will see me. You know, so there's a lot of self-contained little verses and statements that were made to the disciples that can't be so easily explained away with some of these other interpretations. But they fit rather nicely into the what also is called covenant eschatology, if you've studied that term at all. But there's a lot of web pages out there that don't stick to the fundamentals of preterism, and they get off into lots of other discussions on current events and things like that. But if you I'm trying to remember some names of some guys that have written some good books about it, but you know, are well written books, I should mm-hmm. say. I think eschatology.org. The last time I was on that website, it also got away from some of the fundamentalist core premises there that explain it rather nicely. There's an outline that you can find online, a couple of outlines that go through these verses and connect them back to the Old Testament. They use the same language that's in the Book of Revelation about the sky rolling up like a scroll and elements melting with fervent heat and stuff like that. So you can find the same language back in the Old Testament that's in the Book of Revelation.
Well, fascinating conversation here, my friend. I appreciate it so much. Thank you for the call, Mike.
Thanks.
From Kentucky.
Well,
folks, Another quick break here, then we'll be back with calls if you're interested. Otherwise, we'll dive into some news. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. We provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the online member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. We call it the fastest 4 hours in talk radio, and to me, it certainly is. Taking your calls, 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Let's go to Eric in Oklahoma. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, Frank, how you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. Hey, with preterism, preterists are very interesting, but they remind me of evolutionists because they kind of deny the spirit aspect, and they see everything kind of in a straight line where prophecy seems to be circular and with dual fulfillments that build upon each other. And I just want to say to my brother, just read with your eyes, pray to the Spirit, pray to God to open your eyes, and when you read the passages, let the Spirit speak through you. It's more than just the black and white on the paper. It's the Spirit will, God wants you to understand the deeper things of the Spirit. And if we just try to rationalize everything away, sometimes we just kind of get lost in our own preconceived notions.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that's really the main thing is I did take a good hard look at preterism because, I've tried to look at really everything to a certain degree, because I was fascinated by the idea that you can have all these things having been written, that the Bible is not a living book per se, meaning that the things are happening and there things are continuing to be confirmed, that the book has some significance. But the idea that someone would view it simply as a historical document detailing various things and nothing more is amazing to me. It's amazing to me because I know people who are preterists, and I know people who are preterists who have faith and they have hope. And I'm just saying, well, why, honestly? Because I don't understand why you could think that all these things have already come to pass and that, this new Jerusalem, which is not anywhere to be found, 1,000 years of peace, nowhere to be found. I don't know how you explain all this away. And they just say, well, obviously that doesn't count. Well, then why believe anything? And I agree with you. I think that there's... There's a certain quality to that belief structure that is so fascinating to me because it seems like it doesn't offer a whole lot of comfort, honestly. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense.
Okay.
And you know what? Christ was warning the Jews that the destruction was coming. It came. You can't deny that a lot of what Christ spoke of was the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. And like I said, there are dual fulfillments. And these things are given to us as an example. The destruction of Jerusalem is an example to us now, actually. Especially with Revelations, the world system that is set up right now, Jerusalem is just a small part of the Roman Empire. Right now we're talking of a global structure that is that has us in its hand and is tightening. So I would just say to my brother to just read and pray to God to just let you see beyond the words and into the Spirit. Because, he wants us to commune with him,
Amen. No, I agree with that.
Frank, I'm going to let you go, brother. I love you, man.
I love you too, buddy. I appreciate the call and the input, and I think that's certainly a good advice. I mean, we should never be so certain that we're dead set on something. And I think Mike in Kentucky, when he was talking about this, he said, "Look, everything that I've read is pointing me in this direction." So it sounds to me like he's open minded. I think that's the right place to be because I try to take the same position too. I try to say that, hey, if I hear something I've never heard of before, I'll look into it, absolutely. And I'll look into it with an open mind. But it has to meet certain parameters, such as, bearing out. And everything I've looked at, as far as the skeptics, I mean, the preterists make a great case, but the skeptics point out a lot of flaws. It's kind of like this. Rush Limbaugh, I think he's extremely myopic, by design. But I think that when you're looking for somebody to rip holes in the Democrats, go to a Rush Limbaugh. And when you're looking for somebody to rip holes in the Republicans, go to something like an Air America. I mean, that's where you're going to find it because there's a vested interest there. So the people who are out there to rip apart preterism, they're great for doing that. That doesn't mean that if they're like Baptists, for example, that Baptists is the right way to go. It just means that their views, whatever motivates them, are their research is probably solid. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Preterists are very, very scholarly. The preterists, I've found men that can give you like the minutes to the Council of Nicaea. These guys study. They get in there and they compare. They go to the Strong's and look up definitions of words. You got to respect them for that. But
oh, sure.
I'm certainly not trying to do I have actually a lot of respect for them. I just disagree with their conclusions, and their conclusions are made because they like I said, they remind me very much of evolutionists. They just see things in a very scientific kind of way, actually. But you got to let that spirit in there to lead you to truth, all truth, you know. And with that, my brother, I'm going to wish you a good night and a good weekend.
You too, my friend. Take care. Fantastic. I think that's good advice for anybody, no matter what your belief structure is. Open your eyes. And here's the thing. And a lot of people do this too, and I've seen this a lot with the people who think that everything is evil. Hey, I'm not saying that doesn't have a basis in it. For example, you know, like I like to mock some of the the New Age people, you know, with their let's just love the planet and let's go have sex with trees and weird, bizarre things that they might think is a good idea. And a lot of people have said, well, that's not very open-minded, is it? And I said, well, you know, come on. It just seems kind of silly to me, honestly. I mean, where's having sex with trees getting you, honestly, right? But on the flip side of that, then there are people who say, well, there are pagan, you know, origins to this holiday or pagan origins to this, and this. So we have to avoid all that. I'll give you a perfect example. We had a, excuse me, I have some phlegm, but we had a past guest on the show, who shall not be named, who, criticized, Webmaster James, who put up this website for me, again, franklyspeakingradio.com, at his own expense, time, money, all that jazz. You know, the guy, hard worker. And she was saying that his website was satanic because there were, the old website had like stars, looked like a field of stars in the background. She's like, stars are pagan, so therefore your website is satanic. And he's like, come on. You know, I went to a free website and they had like five options for a background and I didn't want rainbows, you know, so where are my options at? So my point is, my comment to those who think everything is evil, and maybe it has the attempt to be, you know what I mean, is at some point you may as well just gouge out all your eyes and cut off your arms and legs, right? Because you might touch something that has some significance to some ancient form of worship ages and ages ago. That to me is just ridiculous. So what I'm saying is, again, there were probably cultures that worshiped the sun. So what, are we not supposed to ever be in the sunlight? Because then that means we're tainted. We're now evil. There are ancient cultures that worshiped nature. So don't look out the car window when you're driving. Don't accidentally view a tree or a bird, because then you're evil. You're satanic. You're indwelt. I don't fear those things. And I think there's a... it's okay to go ahead and explore these things and pick them apart and do research on them without being sort of co-opted. That's just my take on it. I'm not encouraging people to go out and say, well, I want to go explore Satanism because I'm fearless about it. No, there has to be a healthy amount of firm, I think, spiritual foundation before you go ahead and delve down those things. But I'll give you a perfect example. A lot of people say, oh, all the pagan holidays. You know, all the holidays are based on pagans, so I refuse to worship, or if you refuse to participate in a holiday. See, I think that's the beauty of God and the way that He works. Just my theory here, my opinion. You're entitled to your own. So, Christmas. Some people say, oh, we're celebrating the birth of Christ. And then other people say, aha! Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Who cares? Who cares if you celebrate the birth of Christ every day of the year? Does that mean that on the other 364 days, it's not? It's satanic to celebrate that, and on the one day that whoever, by their own decree, they're correct, then that makes it so? I don't understand that. Who cares? It's the intent. So you've got Christmas, holiday invented. You've got Santa Claus, invented by Coca-Cola. And then the whole thing about giving presents and all that stuff, people are like, oh, you can't celebrate Christmas, that's evil. No, it's not. Christmas is just like anything else. It's what you make of it. Do I think that the powers that be, you know, the Luciferian angle, would like to co-opt everything under the sun and turn it to their benefit? Absolutely. But if I go and I get together with my family on whatever day of the year it is, and I celebrate the fact that I've got an amazing family, and I celebrate the fact that there are people that I love and care about, and I celebrate the fact that I want to do something nice for somebody, like buy them a present or whatever, what's wrong with that? Where's the Satanism there? No, it's not. It's the beauty of God and the way that He works. The attempt was made to hijack something and to make it something else, and God won. I really believe that. Because look at Christmas time. What happens? Yeah, you got people at the store and at the mall, and they're elbowing each other, and they're thinking about materialism and whatnot. But that's not what it's all about. People are nicer at Christmas time, aren't they? I mean, cashiers, you know, maybe they're harried, but for the most part, they're nice. You know, there's a spirit there of giving, of generosity. People are nicer. They hold doors for you, maybe more likely so at Christmas time. You've got your people out there trying to raise money, Salvation Army, other things like that. People are more inclined to give at Christmas time. Now, granted, you don't see the Salvation Army donation buckets out there 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, but people are more inclined to give at Christmas time, I think. There's just that mindset. So, again, attempt made to make something Luciferian, foiled by the Lord. I firmly believe that. I really, truly do. So, in that regard, what I'm saying is that I don't buy into the fact that we have to live our lives like little insects worried about getting squashed at any time by Satanists or something that's going to lead us off track. There are so many religions out there, in fact, I would wager almost all of them, that encourage you not to explore other theories, that encourage you not to explore other doctrines. Don't read their literature. Don't listen to the people. Plug your ears and go la, 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 la until they walk away. Don't answer the door when they come and knock on your door. I always answer the door when the Jehovah's Witnesses show up or the Mormons. I love messing with those people. And I love listening to what they have to say and getting to a little friendly back and forth with them just to find out. It's like, did you know this about your faith? And they're like, well, that's a conspiracy theory on the Internet. And then I'll say, really? Well, hold on a second here. Let me go to my library and pull out a few books. And odds are they won't wait and stick around for that. But, you know, sometimes they do, in which case it's nice. It's a nice opportunity. So, you know, look, life is what you make it. God knows your heart. I don't think God is a stickler for the legalisms. Legalisms are the other side, which is why churches and whatnot, they have very, very strict doctrines. If you don't attend church on this day, you go to hell. Well, that's nice. Thank you very much for that. You know? I just don't believe that. And some people say, oh, when you talk about God, you have to say Yahweh. You can't say God. Why? Well, because God will get mad because you're not calling him by his real name. Who cares? God knows my heart. I knew God before I knew Yahweh, meaning the Word, and that's all it is a word. But he knows my heart, and he knows who I'm praying to, and he knows what I'm all about, and he does it in that fashion. So I really think there's entirely too much fear out there of new things. And fear, you know, I don't know. It is what it is. I'm just kind of rambling, I guess, at this point. Anyway, let's continue with the calls. 800-313-9443. Mary in Georgia, welcome to the show.
Hey, Frank, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, doing better.
Good.
I hardly know what to say to this guy, other than the fact that, two things. Everybody can be deceived, and everybody can keep searching and find the truth. Now, if he believes that everything in Revelation has already happened, it says that when... Well, Satan is the god of this world. The kingdoms right now of this world belong to him. Mm. Now, when Christ comes back, it says, the kingdoms of this world have now become the kingdoms of our Lord. Mm-hmm. And it also says that the lion shall lay down with the lamb, and he shall rule for 1,000 years, and his kingdom shall never end, and there will be no more weeping, no more sorrow, no more sickness. I haven't seen that happen yet.
Yes, that certainly did not occur. It's not occurring now, and it certainly did not occur between the years 70 and 1070,
yeah.
In my opinion.
And the reason I can say, the Bible also says, study to show yourself approved. Now, I was deceived because even though the Lord knew my heart and he knew I was very sincere, but he took his time and bringing me to the truth, because everybody's different and everybody can't accept everything at the same time in the same way, because we're all different, and he knows that, and he works with us in a certain way according to who we are. Now, I used to believe in the rapture, and like most people, I went to church, and I listened to the preacher, and I listened to these preachers on TV, and then my husband and I got to where we started having Bible study, and we was reading all the parts about where they were talking about the rapture and stuff, and it was like they were just picking out sentences and not finishing the whole verse or finishing the whole chapter. And I said, well, you know, this is not lining up with what these pre-trib rapturists are saying. And so if you'll just study for yourself and pray for God to show you through his wisdom and by his spirit, everybody has been in deception at one time or another, even though you've been seeking God, and he has to slowly lead you into the truth. So if that man would just honestly seek the Lord and study the Bible and see if all this stuff he believes in, you know, matches up with what God's word says, he might change his opinion on what he believes.
Yeah, I think that's always good advice, you know, for all of us. We do have to be willing to go ahead and do that kind of research, because it is important. It's very interesting. A lot of people have always been stumped, and there's the music. Let me ask you to hang on for a second, Mary, if you don't mind. And, folks, I'll give out our phone number again, 800-313-9443. I know it's Saturday or late Friday for you. I know it's been a long week. Well, we still got an hour and about 10 minutes or so left in the show. I'm anxious to hear from you guys. Stay with us. Back in three.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow. I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're here. Of course, at the tail end of hour number three, it's, yeah, it's Frankly Speaking Radio, of course. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Back to Mary in Georgia. Mary, welcome back.
Okay, Frank, I'm going to give you a little bit of disagreement here. We
Good.
Have to do that every once
Good
in a while.
Good for you. Good for you.
I have a little, just a slight difference with you on Christmas and Easter and stuff like that, and I most definitely don't celebrate Halloween. But I do celebrate Christmas, and I do celebrate Easter. But I do not put up a Christmas tree, and I do not boil eggs on Easter, and I'll tell you the reason why. Now, I grew up, I loved a Christmas tree. And I would love to have the music going about the birth of Christ and all that, and just look at the pretty lights and really enjoy it. And then one day I was reading in the Old Testament, I don't remember right now if it was in Exodus or Leviticus or what book it was, but God was talking about the people that worshipped the god Tammuz. Mm-hmm. You may have heard somebody talk about that before.
Mm-hmm.
And it said they cut down the tree, they stayed it up in their home, and they decorate it with gold and silver. He also said, learn not the ways of the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I don't boil the eggs is because the Easter holiday, which we celebrate as the resurrection of Christ, back then was to celebrate the fertility goddess Easter, in other words.
Yeah, I know all this.
So I do celebrate Easter because of the resurrection, and I do celebrate Christmas because of the birth of Christ, although the only thing he told us to do in his word was when you break bread, do this in remembrance of mm-hmm. me.
Let me ask you this, though. Now, you're married, correct?
Yeah.
Do you have a wedding ring?
No.
You don't. Good for you. Well, at least you're consistent then. Usually I can bust people on that. Well, and that's another pagan symbol. But yeah, Christmas tree, sure, it has origins in that. But who cares? When I put up a Christmas tree and I put little Santas on there and little nativity scenes around the tree and a little Christmas train and all that stuff, I'm not worshiping some bizarre god. I'm putting it up because it's pretty. And God knows that. I don't think you can accidentally worship a pagan god or pay tribute to him without doing so intentionally. So that's where I disagree with you. But you're right. I mean, all these things have some sort of origin in them. But again, you know, there's been worships of many, many different things and many, many different practices. I do have a wedding ring. It's mostly to keep all the ladies away, you know, just to let them know.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
you know.
I've worked at places before where a lot of truck drivers. Matter of fact, I was a scaler at a lumber yard checking the trucks in and all, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they'd say, oh, I noticed you don't have a ring on. Maybe we could go out some night. I said, and I don't have a ring on, but I am married. But
that's great.
Anyway, the only reason I don't do it is because God said, learn not the ways
mm-hmm.
of the heathen. And
absolutely.
To me, that's just me.
And you know what? God bless you for it, because, hey, that's what it's all about. And you know, I don't want to go ahead and face judgment day and have God say, why did you do this or why didn't you do this? I want to say, hey, look, I'll pass or fail based on what I thought was right. Hang on, folks. Back in 90.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's